at thy vast domain, everlasting is thy reign. Hark the glad celestial hymn, angel choirs above are raising, swell the glad refrain, and the white-robed martyrs follow, and from morn to set of sun, through the church the song goes on. Thou art King of glory, Christ, Son of God, yet born of Mary. For us sinners sacrificed, as to death a tree. To break the bars of death, thou hast opened heaven to faith. Holy Father, Holy Son,
we follow the order of worship, the Divine Service 4, which is on page 203, also printed in the bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you. For his sake, he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
I will extol you, my God and King,
and bless your name forever and ever.
Every day I will bless you
and praise your name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised,
and his greatness is unsearchable.
One generation shall commend your works to another
and shall declare your mighty acts.
On the glorious splendor of your majesty
and on your wondrous works I will meditate.
They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds,
and I will declare your greatness.
They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness,
and shall sing aloud of your righteousness.
The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all,
and his mercy is over all that he has made.
All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord,
and all your saints shall bless you.
They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power,
to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations.
The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works.
The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down.
He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
To God on high be glory and peace to all the earth.
Good will from God in heaven proclaimed at Jesus' birth. We praise and bless you, Father, your holy name we sing. Our thanks for your great glory, Lord God, our heavenly King. To you, O soul begotten, the Father's Son we pray. O Lamb of God, our Savior, you take our sins away. Have mercy on us, Jesus. Receive our heartfelt cry. Where you in power are seated at God's right hand on high. For you alone are holy, you only are the Lord. Forever and forever be worshipped and adored. You with the Holy Spirit alone are Lord Most High. In God the Father's glory, amen, our glad reply.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray, gracious God, our Heavenly Father, your mercy attends us all our days. Be our strength and support amid the wearisome changes of this world, and at life's end, grant us your promised rest and the full joys of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit,
one God, now and forever. Amen.
The congregation may be seated. The Old Testament reading for this Sunday is from Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 through 12. This is the reading on which the sermon is primarily based. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey. On a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. There today I declare that I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. Those of you who heard the reading last week, the first part of this chapter was the epistle reading. And in this reading, Paul talks about the struggle that we Christians have yet with sin. Yet it is not our power and strength that saves us, but Christ who will save us through our daily efforts and struggle. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. For now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God, in my inner being. But I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand and sing the verse.
Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The congregation may be seated.
Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress, mist flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Bold shall I stand in that great day, cleansed and redeemed and no debt to pay, fully absolved through these I am, from sin and fear, from guilt and shame. To the mercy seat of God, pleads for the captive's liberty, was also shed in love for me. Lord, I believe we're sinners more than sands upon the ocean shore. Thou hast for all a ransom paid, for all a full atonement made. When from the dust of death I then shall be my only plea, Jesus hath lived and died for me. Jesus, be endless praise to thee, whose boundless mercy and
As I mentioned, the main text for our sermon is the Old Testament reading from Zechariah chapter 9. I reread to start verses 11 and 12. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some of you know that our son-in-law and our daughter, Scott and Becky, and their six children were with us at the beginning of last week, but also this week, Thursday. Anyhow, it was fun to have them around, their six children, and we did a few things with them. But one of the things that we did was Scott and I talk about this week's sermon. He's a Lutheran LCMS pastor as well in Mondovi, Wisconsin, at Zion Lutheran Church in Mondovi. And so we talked about the assigned texts and what we're going to preach on this week. And Debbie heard this conversation a little. I said, there's a lot in that Zechariah passage. There's about three sermons there. I'll just preach one. It's a little bit difficult to get at this Old Testament reading because it has a context, especially verses 1 through 13. This is just verses 9 through 12. But if you look at the context of this reading, you'll see that it is about God defeating and somewhat to extent his punishment around surrounding nations of Israel. And it's a prophecy about what's going to happen. And it's so interesting when you see that whole, these prophecies against Tyre and Ashkelon and Syria, and even Greece is mentioned in verse 13, that the promise of Jesus riding into Jerusalem, verse 9, which I read, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion, shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." We normally read that Palm Sunday, sometimes Advent too. And that is directly about Jesus. And Matthew quotes it in Matthew chapter 21 as Jesus fulfilling this prophecy. But the context of the prophecy is about the defeat of the surrounding nations. And specifically, God's people have seen that this prophecy was about Alexander the Great's conquering, taking over that whole area. And I wrote in the notes there a little, oh my goodness, it's very brief, and I hope mostly accurate. It's so brief. I'll read the little paragraph. Alexander did not conquer and destroy Jerusalem like the surrounding nations, but visited Jerusalem and let the people remain in peace. And there's all kinds of history and teachings about that, or history about that. However, in Alexander's reign, and the rulers following him, there are various efforts to change the religious beliefs and practices to follow Greek and later Roman gods instead of the Lord God. In 168 to 167 BC, the ruler Antiochus IV Epiphanes attacked Jerusalem and forced the end of Old Testament worship, killing many thousands of Jews and desecrating the temple with pagan sacrifices. The Jews later revolted, the Maccabean revolt, and ruled themselves until about 135 BC. The land was then ruled by the Hasmonean dynasty until Herod the Great, who with the support of the Romans became the ruler in 37 BC, and that's the King Herod of the Christmas narratives. Zechariah gave a prophecy about when Alexander would take over that whole area. And yet, he did not destroy Jerusalem like he destroyed Tyre and Sidon and some of the other surrounding countries. What was the goodness or the power that preserved Jerusalem against Alexander the Great? It was not that the people were good, because oftentimes the people did not obey God. In fact, that's what the prophets complained about so often. It was God's promise and oath to them. I didn't write it down, but it's in Exodus 14. No, 24. Exodus 24. The blood of the covenant thrown against the people and then also against the mountain. And that was when they received the Ten Commandments and all the other parts of the covenant, and they swore they would keep it, but they didn't keep it. But God swore he would keep his covenant with them. That is the strength of the covenant through all the times, from Moses all the way going to Zechariah to the time of Jesus. God preserved his people and preserved Jerusalem through all these rulers and reigns, and from Egypt and Babylon and Assyria and Alexander the Great. And preserve those people, preserve Jerusalem, preserve the worship at Jerusalem, come and go as it did, until that king would ride into Jerusalem, the final and great eternal king, Jesus, to which verse 9 refers. God preserved Jerusalem with all its ups and downs, that it might greet its King Jesus. And I looked up some of that history again, and I knew that, and you can read it in the broader text. But this really caught me to share with you and to think about together this Sunday. In verse 11, "As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit." He did not say, because you're good, because you kept my Ten Commandments, because you're a powerful nation. He didn't say anything like that. He said, "As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit." That is our hope. In all our troubles, the hymn that we just sang, "Jesus, thy blood and righteousness." That's our hope. That's the precious grace that we have, is what Jesus has done for us and us trusting in him. That's the gospel message, the light that is the hope of the world. The terrors that the Israelites faced up to the time of Jesus was quite great at times. This Antiochus IV Epiphanes, he wanted to end Old Testament worship. He wanted to end the sacrifices at the temple. In fact, he thought he was God. He was a bit crazy. And instead of the assigned sacrifices at the temple, he forced them, he killed many thousands, and he forced them to sacrifice a pig at the temple. And you know, that was, in the Old Testament, unclean. You were not supposed to eat it, touch it, nothing. But at the temple was sacrificed a pig. That's what Antiochus IV. And the Jews, that's why there was a Maccabean revolt. There was great suffering and forcing of God's people, temptations to go away, to neglect the true sacrifices that were wait to the final great sacrifice of the Lamb of God. There was times when Jerusalem was almost completely destroyed, but God preserved them. preserve them till Jerusalem would meet Jesus. In our lives today, and in the history of the church leading up to us, there are great temptations and there are great struggles against evil. And there are wars. Jesus says rumors of wars. That's all over, isn't it? All over the news. Diseases, pestilence, all these things pressure God's people, either in general or particularly in our own lives. What is our hope? What sets us free? As for you also, because the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. As this is true for the Old Testament people looking towards God's final sacrifice, so it is true for us living after that sacrifice has been made, Jesus Christ. We look to him and how he gives us strength and power and life to endure through the things that we face and will face. That is it. We try our best to live as we should, but it won't get us through all these things. Jesus will get us through all these things. It is the power and promise of God. Dear friends in Christ, when we face troubles, either personally in our lives, illnesses, setbacks, or our community, maybe some have great immediate trials like an earthquake or tornado, or we face sometimes not good weather, or as a nation, all kinds of disturbances and scandals, etc., etc. We as Christians then, whether in our own lives or in the lives of our community or nation or world, we have to remember, it is vital for us to remember what is the strength and the power to get through this. And we confess over and over again that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, shed his blood for our sins to give us forgiveness, life, and salvation. Jesus Christ's blood is stronger than my illness that I'm going through. Jesus Christ's blood is stronger than the evil that attacks us in our lives or our communities. Jesus Christ's blood and resurrection is stronger than any evil this world faces. If we don't believe that, we don't have God's covenant and oath with us. And those things will overcome us. But when we know that and believe that, that carries us through. Even though we may fall asleep, die in Christ, his blood and righteousness carries us through our death and into heaven, and one day he will raise us again. It really is as simple as the blood of Christ is stronger than all these evil things and has overcome all these evil things, even the evil within myself, as Paul notes in Romans 7, or it is not. That is a Christian. Either Christ's death has been victorious and he's risen from the dead, or it doesn't mean anything. Those are the two things. And the Lord, through Zechariah, was pointing his people at Zechariah's time. Look, all these nations around you are going to be overthrown. Even Jerusalem is going to be threatened as many times it was. But as for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Because of God's promise and covenant, and now his shed blood in Jesus Christ, his Son. So when we take Holy Communion, and when we hear Jesus' words, this is the blood of my covenant shed for the forgiveness of your sins. That is his life and promise and oath put into our lives and even given us to eat and drink. This is his promise, his oath. And no matter what we face, His oath, His promise overcomes all these things. These great historical figures in the world's estimate, powerful men, Alexander the Great, and others. And yet, the blood oath of Jesus Christ, His own shed blood, overcomes all these things for His people. That is the message and faith that we share. That is what we need to remember over and over and over again. And in Revelation, we've studied many times, the people sing about the victory of Christ with His shed blood. That's long enough for one sermon. It's very simple. It's complex in our lives, I know. In our life too. My life too. But the message of the gospel is so simple and powerful. It is Christ has made His oath to forgive us and give us life everlasting. And it is by His power that this is true and lasts. And will take us through everything. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus Christ. How can we thank You enough? How can we understand it enough? Except Your words teach us and put faith in us that we trust in You and what You have done for us in Your Son. This is good news. This is joy. This is a hope that goes through all sufferings and even through death, to know that we have life with You, that we are at peace with You. Make this always certain in our lives and in our minds and hearts, and help us to share it with family, friends, and community. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to You in the holy name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have a hymn that we are singing now. You'll notice on the other side of the sermon notes on the insert is the order of the installation for the Vacation Bible School staff. You ought to also notice, and ushers will notice, that, and I see you've noticed, that during the first verse, the offering is brought forwards. The staff comes forward during the second and third verse, and we go through this order of installation. We sing.
Jesus, think on me and purge away my sin from worldly passions, set me free and make me pure within. Lord Jesus, think on me by anxious thoughts oppressed. Your promised rest. Lord Jesus, think on me amid the battle's strife, in all my pain and misery. Oh, be my health and life.
Dear sisters in Christ, you are to serve our Lord as Vacation Bible School staff at Zion Lutheran Church. Hear what Holy Scripture has to say about those who serve in the church. From Galatians chapter 6. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not to his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load, and let not us grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And from Romans chapter 12. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Dear sisters, I install you in the presence of God and of Zion Lutheran Church. I install you as Vacation Bible School staff in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, through your dear Son, you have made us all your witnesses. Enlightened by your Holy Spirit, all who speak to others the message of salvation through Jesus' blood and merit, grant your blessing upon Luana and Diane and Taylor, and all also helping, so that your word and their service in your name may reach out and bear much fruit for the growth of your church. And also, Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon all the children and families who participate in Vacation Bible School this year. Grant your protection in all travels, faith in hearing your word, and joy in the salvation which you grant through your Son, Jesus Christ. All this we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
God's peace be with you. God's peace be with you. God's peace be with you. You can sit down. We sing verses 4 and 5 of hymn 610.
Lord Jesus, think on me, nor let me go astray through darkness and perplexity. Point out your chosen way. Lord Jesus, think on me, that when this life is past, I may the eternal brightness see and share your joy at last.
The congregation is invited to stand. We pray the prayer of Zion Lutheran Church as printed in the bulletin. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For deliverance from anxiety and worry, that we would hold fast the conviction that for Jesus' sake, we are more value than birds and lilies to our Creator, who knows what we need. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, that the Lord would enkindle the gifts of his Holy Spirit and give us mutual encouragement by each other's faith. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our homes, that our Heavenly Father would be the companion of those who are alone, the strength of husbands and wives, and the blessing of parents as they catechize their children, that he would preserve our families from every plague and evil. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For peace and protection, that God would bless our nation's leaders with integrity and wisdom to defend against evil, until at last he cuts off the war horse and the chariot forever. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
for all couples who are newly married or planning for their wedding in the coming weeks, that the Lord would bless their marriages with enduring love and faithfulness toward one another and also toward God. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Lord's blessings on all our work activities, that he may bless us with favorable weather, safety, and success, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are incarcerated, that God would foster in them repentance and trust in his grace, preserve them from greater evil, and enable them by such forgiveness to bear their sentence in joyful hope. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For comfort to those weary and heavy laden with tribulations or illnesses, we remember Margaret and Charlotte Burnetta, Bill, Gary, Bryston, Don, James, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Mary Ellen, Mary, Sue and Steve, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Mark, Helen, Michael, Ray, the Rodriguez families, Charles, Sandy, Jeanette, Sandy, Marty. That they would be blessed with the knowledge of his easy yoke and light burden and find rest from their Lord, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the saints who have gone before us, seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness above all else, let us give thanks to the Lord, and that God would preserve us in repentance and faith until we stand before him in glory. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen. We pray our Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Invited to stand or sit for our closing hymn.
My soul now praise your Maker. Let all within me bless his name, who makes you full partaker of mercies more than you dare claim. Forget him not, whose me
truth and righteousness. God sets his anger by. The poor and contrite spirit finds his compassion nigh. And high as heaven above us has dawned from close of day. So far since he has loved us, he puts our sins away. For as a tender father has pity on his children here, God in his arms will gather all who are his in childlike fear. He knows how frail our powers, who but from dust are made. We flourish like the flowers, and even so we fade. The wind but through them passes, and all their bloom is o'er. We wither like the grasses, our size knows us no grace remains forever, and children's children yet shall prove that God forsakes them never, who in true fear shall seek his love. In heaven is his dwelling, his rule is over all. O hosts with might excelling, with praise before him fall. Praise him word. Our life and all sustaining, my soul.